Hello and welcome to Knowing Spirit, a show about healing the soul so you can change your life. This is Reverend Shreese Thorne inviting you to journey to all that is.
Hello and thank you for joining our show today. This is a show about healing the soul so that you can change your life. And thank you, LaVonne, for having me on your program.
Oh, well, thank you for being on today.
So what did you want to talk about today?
Okay, well, you know, as a healer, I just thought it would be kind of nice to talk about, you know, some of the, I don't know what you can call it, like with me, when I heal or do what comes into my path, I can get a little on the tired side sometime. And I just thought we should maybe talk about those kind of things a little bit and, you know, what you can do and not do and just so you make it a little easier to be a healer.
That's a great topic. I think that a lot of people go through this, and I think what's challenging is there's lots of different opinions, and some people become upset when, you know, they hear something and it sounds negative. You know, one of the authors, I think her name is Carolyn Miss, she had written about healers who get tired and, you know, sometimes take on energy in a very derogatory way, explaining that, you know, well, those healers don't know what they're doing and whatnot, and it offended some people. But I think we have to remember that whatever I get and whatever you get and whatever any author gets, it's still an opinion.
Exactly.
Yeah, and the greatest, grandest truth comes within, and since we're all unique, whatever works for one person will not work for the other person. So I can only share what I have learned from, you know, being a healer for the last, you know, 12 years and what my teachers have taught me in the different paths that I've taken. On a personal level, there's about seven reasons why healers will either get exhausted or fatigued or sick. And usually you can kind of put yourself into one of those seven categories. And I'll go through them real quick, and then maybe we could explore and see what you get from, you know, your guides and whatnot. The first one is the intent of the healer. Sometimes we have to, when we get sick, it allows the person who's being the channel to rethink what their intent is with healing. It's really important to put out an intent. Some people forget to put out an intent. Number two, what does the healer or the channel believe about the person that they're healing? Right? What are their thoughts? Do they believe that they are responsible for the other person's well-being? Do they believe that they are the ones actually doing the healing, or do they believe that they're just a channel? So there's lots of different reasons. It could be, where's the belief system coming in there? The other one is boundaries. You know, as healers, we open up our boundaries and we allow the other person into, you know, what the shamans call the wetakocha. But sometimes our boundaries have been so abused in the past that putting up healthy boundaries again is a challenge. So, but it's not always the case. It's just a case for some. So in some cases, it's healthy boundaries, putting up healthy boundaries, and those healthy boundaries might be have to be a lot stronger and a lot more firm than the average person, because when people recognize that you're a healer, they sometimes take advantage of your energy and want to either, quote-unquote, dump or pull from you. So we can talk about healthy boundaries. The other one is, you know, the Barbara Brennan, I studied with the Barbara Brennan science and healing touch energy for a little bit, and they talk a lot about the body being a channel, and some people just aren't realistic with how much energy it takes from the body to channel energy and to be a healer, and that they just assume they can have 10 clients and be fine because they're not lifting, you know, weights. But, you know, according to Barbara Brennan, who's got a BA program down in Florida, and it is accredited. It's a legitimate school, according to Barbara Brennan, that healers will legitimately get tired if they're overdoing themselves. So that's something to think about too. Are we being realistic with how much we can do? The next one is, the higher the consciousness, the lower the tolerance. And that my teacher, Reverend Kim, you know, that was her mantra. She always reminded me, when you get to a higher level of consciousness, you become a lot more sensitive. You can transmute, but you're still really sensitive. So that was number five. Number six is self-love. You know, sometimes we have to, you know, sometimes healers are so concerned about the beings around them and they see such pain and trauma that they forget about themselves. And it's not a bad thing. I think sometimes it's great. You know, a lot of people lose themselves in their service. But sometimes they're neglecting themselves. And that's, you know, I've fallen into that, to that category. You know, I feel able to help people, which was last week's show with Sophia. I know I'm capable of helping people. I see that it can be done, and I do it, but then I overextend myself. And it's not necessary all the time. So we have to think about, you know, are they learning self-love as opposed to selflessness? So that's another category. And the seventh one is being in alignment. When you're in alignment with your soul, then you're, well, when you're out of alignment, then it's easier to get sick. So an alignment can come in, disalignment or disease can come in a couple of different ways. Sometimes when you're in alignment and you're going up to a higher level, the body goes through a lot of changes and there's a lot of phlegm. You know, you had a cold the other day. And then sometimes it's a sickness like, you know, bronchitis, which is letting, the soul is trying to tell the healer, you know, this personality, the physical body, hey, something is not right, I'm not happy. That the soul is not happy. So it's an indication of a couple of different things, but you have to take a look. Everybody's different. Everybody's different. So for us to assume this is what it means for everyone is really presumptuous. And beyond even the seven things I mentioned here, it could be many more, but these are just the seven that I've seen and, you know, with the teachers that I've worked with. So we could go back to number one, intent of a healer. You know, what's the healer's intent? And so do you work, with intent, LaVonne, and what's your intent when you work with your clients? And do you ask them to have an intent as well?
How do you do your No, because mostly I work with my hands because of where I live. So I guess their intent is they have aches. They want to be released, so I guess they do have one, but, you know, I don't specifically talk to them as so because they would probably be blown away a little bit because they're just coming to have some aches taken care of, so.
So just, you know, just sensing about what you're saying, I think the challenging thing is their intent is they want to be healed, so they're very clear with their intent, and they know you're capable. They know you're capable of it. So I guess one thing to think about is intent. You might have to change your intent a little bit, and that you might be, you know, channel energy to help them, you know, relieve some of their pain, but to become self-aware as to why they experienced the pain in the first place. Because I've had to work on my intent a lot, because intent is what creates your reality. So it could be intention, and that's something that we could probably, you know, we could have a whole class on just the power of intention. What you're intending to do is really important.
So example, you're saying, let's say a man is coming for a massage, and he has a lower back issue from an old football wound, because I have one like that. He comes, and after so many, he walks out, and he feels great. But then, you know, he's got four children. Very good father, picks one of them up, and out it goes. So I would say, what would I do then as for an intent?
I think if somebody's coming to you for massage therapy and Reiki, then I would put your intent that, you know, you're going to channel energy that would help them and be in their greatest good while still respecting your own personal, physical, emotional, and spiritual needs. And that you will, you know, manipulate the tissue, but that whatever you do, even though you might be capable of completely healing the person, it's not your duty. Your duty is just to channel and do what's in the greatest good for everybody, which includes you. And you don't have to tell him the intent, you know. it would just be in your mind, because I know sometimes my intentions have gotten me into trouble, but they were unconscious. So how does that sound to you, like having an intention that, you know, if this guy is coming, you know, let's say, and it really fatigues you afterwards, that you're only going to channel what you're capable of channeling, and that you're not responsible for him getting healed? Because, you know, in the past, healers were responsible for other people's healing. And I don't think that's the truth. We're responsible for our own healing. Nobody else is responsible for us. But that's an old belief that we really have to eradicate.
And that's one reason why so many healers in past lives were actually killed, because they'd get blamed for horrible, like this big old earthquake in China. Well, right now, we'd all been wiped away because it did a lot of damage. Well, you know, it's interesting about the individual I just brought up. For a while there, I was having people come that had lower back, and my understanding is lower back usually means concern for finances. And I did with this individual say to him, do you believe in the positive thinking theory? Because that's kind of something that's accepted even up here.
Mm-hmm.
So we talked a little bit, and then I just came right out and said, you know, lower back represents the finance issue. So I told him a few things that he should say, and, you know, he's usually pretty good about coming back if he's hurting. And you know what? He didn't come back. So I think, you know, the intention for him was to believe that the finances are great.
Right, yeah.
So, you know, but I did have six clients right in a row. They were huge men, not like fat men. They were just big, solid, tall, you know, at least 220-pound men. And I got sick right after I did those guys. So it makes me wonder if it was just a little too much.
Well, that's the other thing, too. If we want to skip down to number three, number four, which is Barbara Brennan, and what she said is, you know, doing energy work is different than even just doing massage therapy. Because energy work is you're channeling energy, and you're channeling it consciously to help clear their field. You want to open up their chakras. You know, you're doing a little bit more than just massage therapy. So she, you know, in her book, it's called The Hands of Light. It's one of the things you have to study when you become a healing touch practitioner, which I was studying healing touch for a while. She does mention in her book that healers tend to overdo it. Because you're not running around, because you're not lifting up heavy things, you think that you can work all day and all night. But your body is a channel of energy. And because we can't see how much we're channeling, the body will tell you later, hey, you just channeled a lot of energy. And the body is what's telling you. Your body is your tool. So your body is telling you, okay, it takes too much energy to channel to six real, you know, big men. You've got to think about pacing yourself, and that's all, right?
Well, you know, as a rule, things just kind of fall into place. What happened, there was a gal that she does physical therapy and I do what I do. And she was doing me a favor, she thought. And I was worn out and I could tell. And all of a sudden I come out and I'm thinking, oh, good, I'm done. And she's, oh, my husband will be here in 15 minutes. Well, and he took two modalities. And I could, just when I'm working with him, I feel it. So as a rule, that doesn't happen. As a rule, it's just people actually cancel. But everything's a lesson.
Yeah, everything's a lesson. And remember, everybody's unique. I mean, Barbara Brennan says, you know, don't overdo it yourself. But with you, you know, as a healer, and you're working on a lot of people, you know, you do, you know, shows daily, and you've got CDs coming out, and, you know, you're going to be teaching trauma erase, and you work with students. It could also be expanding to a higher level of consciousness. You know, the book Patah, An Act of Faith, and it's by Janie King. I actually met her when I went to her.
How do you spell her last name?
K-I-N-G, I think.
K-I-N-G, okay.
And she's from Australia. She was friends with my shaman, so I went and I had dinner with her and my shaman. And the book that she channeled, Janie King, sorry, her name's Janet King. The book that she channels, Patah, and Patah says, and he's just an entity that she channels, that when people become a little super sensitive, you know, they're being activated, all of a sudden they'll get a cold. And that was in that book, and that's at least a 10-year-old book. And it's well-written. But that's what this guy, Patah, says in the book, that when people evolve, a lot of a sudden, you know, you'll have allergies, you know, out of the clear blue sky. So, you know, in your situation, it could have been a combination of, okay, wait, you know, a couple extra clients that maybe would have been, you know, too much for your system, as well as a raising in consciousness. But in the end, only you will know. Like, you will feel the truth.
So what you're saying is when you raise your consciousness, there's things that have to go, because it's like you're cleaning house.
Yeah, that's right.
You're so like, you get a cold because it's like, okay, what would you call that, garbage?
Yeah, it could be throwing out the garbage, or it could be becoming acclimated. Remember, Sophia last week said, you know, you could be becoming acclimated, so the body is like going through all these weird experiences. It doesn't know what's going on. But, it, you know, in the experiences that I've seen, you know, for a while there, a lot of people felt like they were, you know, coming down with the flu, or they would have fevers or just have lots of stuff happen after having a session with me. And so I finally had to start warning people, hey, this is a really big detox. Don't take it lightly. So please drink a lot of water. Please rest. Please eat a lot of fruits and vegetables and journal and go out into the woods, because stuff will have to clear. So, you know, just like throwing out the garbage, in order to get your garbage from your house to the curb, you've got to take it and walk down to the end of the driveway, right?
Mm-hmm.
So in order for your the suppressed feelings and emotions, let's just say it was, I don't think it was, but let's just say it was suppressed feelings and emotions, it had to come to the surface and get cleared. It's like taking it out, taking the garbage out to the corner. It's got to pass through your field, and sometimes it passes through the physical body. In terms of just, you're just purging. Just a release. But, you know, it's not an indication of a lack or weakness or anything. It's just a release. You're just like letting it go. You know, we don't get attached to the garbage we put at the end of this. You know, I'm looking at the garbage cans right now, and there's a bunch of garbage cans in my neighborhood, and they're not attached to their garbage, but yet they used everything that was in that garbage bin. They ate, you know, they used everything that they put into that garbage, but they're not attached to it. They just put it in the end, and they're not, you know, it's the attachment to it, because I think a lot of us, the healers, think, well, why am I getting sick? You know, don't be attached to it. It's just an experience, and there's a lot of different reasons why somebody would, you know, not be feeling good. But some of us take it as an indication that we're not strong or we're not powerful or we're not being protected. You know, the first thing we should do is find out what's the message. The soul communicates to us through experiences and feelings and emotions. What's the message? The message to you could be you were just taking your garbage to the end of the street.
And it could be also, too, there's a lot of flu colds and
mm-hmm.
bronchitis and all those things going around. And I know, like you just mentioned today, that healers will take from others so that they can be healed.
Yeah, a lot of healers do that. But what we have to do is make sure it's in your highest good. One of my teachers, Reverend Kim, she used to tell me, you know, is it a contract that you had with the person? You know, did you have a contract with these people that you were going to take it on? Because that's the only reason why you should ever do anything. Because we have to make sure that we're dwelling with self-love. As healers, always we have to, you know, this is our body is sacred. And sometimes we don't treat it with as much love and respect as we need to treat it. And also, sometimes we feel so overwhelmed by the suffering on the planet that we think, okay, I'll do whatever it takes to help alleviate some of the suffering, because there's so few of us and so many of them, you know, trying to be awakened. But it's a fine line. It's a fine line. So it could also be that contract. You know, my teacher talks a lot about contracts. I like to focus on self-love. Is it loving for you? is your soul saying, okay, it's not loving. Make sure you never see more than four people at a time.
You mean like four people a day, you're saying?
Yeah, or whatever, you know. It's,
that's
it's
right,
a message. Yeah, it's a message. And then also, you know, if you're moving to a high level of consciousness, the higher the consciousness, the lower the tolerance, supposedly. You're transmuting all the time anyhow. So, you know, a lot of people just have to take care of what energy fields you put yourself into, because if you're going to transmute energy, which is just cleansing of energy or purifying of energy, then you've got to be cognizant of where you are, what you're doing. Just be conscious. Be conscious of it. That's, you know, a thought too, becoming more conscious. So,
in other words,
let's
be aware.
Let's go to number two. What do the healers believe about the healee? There's lots of thoughts there. And if you're, you know, you work with a lot of healers, right?
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And you're training them. So this is some interesting things that are coming up in terms of training. You know, what do they believe about the person that they're working on? Some healers believe that they're responsible for their well-being. Okay. Number one, right? Well, let's call that A. Because if I'm talking about the seven, I'll try and be clear here in my communication. Letter B. A would be they feel responsible. What else would a healer, what other thought would a healer be having that might cause him or her to not be well? What other thought would they have, do you think?
What other thought?
Yeah. Other than feeling responsible for the other person's well-being, what else do you think would cause somebody to be sick after having a session with somebody? What thoughts could they be holding? Because that plays a factor too, what you're thinking. So sometimes I have felt, oftentimes from the time of a very young child, I felt responsible for those around me, because I came in at a more sensitive level of consciousness. I don't like the word tired, but I came in at a more sensitive level of consciousness, so I was very aware of the pain and suffering people were experiencing. So my awareness caused me to think, or I interpreted as, well, if I'm aware of how much pain and suffering they're in, then I'm responsible for it. It was an assumption I made. See how these thoughts?
Especially because there's a pretty good chance in a past life that was put upon you.
Yes, yes.
Because I believe, I'm wrong, but I really don't think a lot of those things were right, but it was something the authorities believed, so it was put upon these healers. So could it be that we've brought that into this lifetime?
That's right, yeah. And we're having to clear out old lifetimes. You know, in the goddess era, the high priestess was living in a temple, and all her needs were taken care of. And she was responsible for the well-being of her community. But, you know, her situation was different. In those days, you know, she didn't have to go out of the temple to work. You know, she was inside the temple, and there was... You know, people were picked from their families. They could sense that they were a sensitive or a channel, whatever, and they were picked from their families, removed from their families, and taken to the temples. And they were called temple priestesses or temple sisters. And, you know, sometimes this may have been traumatic for them, but they were removed from their family, they were put in these temples, and then they were healers. So people would come, and if they wanted healing, they would bring food and, you know, they would bring money and whatnot. But remember, these healers all their needs were taken care of. They were just living inside this temple, and of course they had the ability to take on, you know, other people's pain and suffering. You didn't have to go out and get a job. You didn't have your kids to take up care of, or your husband, because, you know, these women weren't allowed to get married. They had to serve. It was only when they were, gosh, I think it's a, they had to serve for 10 or 16 years. I have the book, I just can't remember. Oracle of the Goddess. They had to serve for, you know, a period of maybe 10 years where they weren't allowed to get married. They just had to be a healer. And then if they were still alive after that time, then they were released to the community. But their lives were very sequestered. They were considered the special ones, the chosen ones. That's where that word came from, the chosen ones. Because they were chosen, they were pulled from their families. But we don't live in that type of society anymore. And I've had to work around those issues that, you know, here I am very sensitive, and a lot of spontaneous healing occurs when people just come into my home. But that's not the lifestyle that I lead. I still have a child to take care of, and I have a husband, and now I'm running a school, and, you know, a bunch of other things. I can't live a sequestered life. So it's really all about growing and evolving and becoming aware of, you have to adapt to the new culture. We're having to adapt to the American culture, you know.
So who took care of these ladies afterwards, you know? You have to survive afterwards, huh?
Oh, they lived in the temple. I mean, if they didn't want to leave, they didn't have to. I mean, I'm only getting this from the book that I read. If they didn't want to leave the temple, they didn't have to. They could just live there forever. And then after 10 years, they would be released to the community. And if they wanted to, they could marry. But they had money. They were always given money and a place to live, and they were considered high standing in the community. Let's put it that way. And to be able to marry her, you know, you had to have been at a high level of wealth. You had to be a high, you know, in terms of the class system. You had to have a high standing in the community to be able to marry one of these women who had served as a healer. And that's a story that we don't know. That's the thing is, this goddess era, this goddess history, whatever, is not in the regular history books. You've got to go look elsewhere for them. So, you know, our lives can be explained by looking to the history, like long time ago when all those Venus figurines were around. That, you know, the challenge is they took all the goddess history out of the textbooks, and they only put the patriarch in there, which is just an experience. I'm not going to judge. You know, I am sure I've been part of the patriarch. There's a time and a place for everything. So now we're recovering some lost memories. We're recovering that divine feminine aspect of ourselves. You know, we're growing and we're evolving. But this isn't a mystery to those who have done a lot of research. You know, the book When God Was a Woman by Merlin Stone. You have that book, don't you?
Yes, I do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's a lot of history in there. There's a lot in there that I didn't know of, about how the, you know, the goddess was worshipped. People were living in peace and harmony, and then the different religions came in and separated. Eventually, the women weren't allowed to own land. Then they were forced to marry, and then lineage was part of the male, like the name and everything was part of the male, and they were separating the women. And then, you know, only the woman's brother could own the land, and if the woman's husband died, she was forced to marry the husband's brother. There's a lot of things. There's a lot of things that we're not aware of, but there was a lot of healers in those times, and the healers were very peaceful. That was why it was, you know, they were easily overcome, because they didn't have weapons of war. They were praying in the temple. So when people came with, you know, these swords and these weapons, it really didn't take much to overcome them. But there is a law of karma, so everything happens for a reason. I can't say that I know what the reason is, but there is a reason for everything. So a lot of that goddess history is only now coming forth, which is why I study at the Order of the White Moon. You know, we study about the goddess culture and what the different figurines mean and the different goddess energies that the people back in the day used to pray to, even in terms of abundance. You know, the figurines always had very large breasts and large stomachs because they believed that the great mother was abundant. All they saw was abundance. Therefore, they only lived in abundance because that's all that they could see. Whereas nowadays, the thought isn't abundance. The thought is lack. There's a lot of people who don't know if they can make their mortgage or their car payment. There's a lot of stuff that we're not aware of. But it takes time to come to the surface. But I think this is a really interesting topic. So we covered some of those thoughts about, you know, what is the healing thing? The healer might think that she's responsible, he or she's responsible. The healer might also think, well, if I can do it, I should do it. Have you ever thought that?
Yeah, I think so. I think a person does, like you mentioned today, that there are certain women were chosen. So I think when you start thinking you're chosen, well, then you better, you know, get to work.
That's right, yeah. That's right. Sometimes we think, well, if we can, we should. Sometimes we feel obligated to. An obligation sometimes is not healthy, but there's a lot of obligations, you know, prior commitments that we are still trying to follow through on. So being obligated is not a healthy thing.
Well, you know, it seems really, it's like I am learning that I can tell when my energy field is more cleared, more healthy, more, you know, abundant with healing ability.
Mm-hmm.
And that day, my phone will ring all day long. I mean, just people calling.
Yeah.
Then there are days nobody calls. So I think from my understanding, it's because, is it like a person's a little light bulb that gets nice and bright?
Yeah, it's your field. And that's why, you know, in the school that we run, it's important that we talk about the field. Because if we don't know what the field is doing, then you kind of don't know what yourself is doing. So that's why we work a lot with the grounding. So so let's take 5 minutes right now and let's do a mini meditation that we did with the last student teleconference on Monday. We did like a cosmic meditation. We can keep it to 2 minutes here, because I know that there's a lot to cover here about, you know, the seven reasons why sometimes healers get sick. But let's do a brief cosmic meditation here so that you could feel your aura, because some of us have forgotten we even have an aura. Now, how sensitive are you to your aura? So let's, if we could just take 2 minutes, we could just bring white light down all around us from the head. Visualize it as a shower or angel dust. Some people really resonate with angels. So as a shower of angel dust, just clouding your field, filling it up, and balancing. Remember, energy just is, so you can call forth whatever energy you want to fill up your field. So let's call forth this balancing white light that's going to be all around us from our heads to our toes, and it's impermeable. It's our choice whether or not energy is going to come in or energy is going to go. It's up to us. So we choose that only the highest, most loving energy enter our field. And then we can also decide how big do we want this field. So I'm in an office right now, and I'm going to let my field go to the walls of my office. Now, how big do you want your field?
I want it as big as my property here.
Okay, so you got some 30 acres there.
Yeah.
Try not to rub that in, right? Don't rub it in with me, who I have to stare at a whole other row of houses. But that's okay. It's all good. Okay, so you're going to go to your property. So what we did on the meditation on Monday is we grounded ourselves. So let's take a long, slow, deep breath in from the belly. And if we can, depends on what you're doing right now, try and put your hand on that sacral chakra right underneath the belly button. And when you put your hand someplace, your consciousness immediately goes there. And wherever your consciousness goes, energy goes. So you're putting energy in the sacral chakra, which is that area of self-love. And it's also grounding. What you're doing is you're bringing your awareness and your consciousness back to your body. A lot of healers feel ungrounded because they're so sensitive, they tend to like leave their body and be up, you know, in the upper regions. But being in the body is just as divine as being up there too. In fact, it's necessary. If you're not grounded, you won't get anything done. Okay, and then let's take slow breaths. Whatever you do, do it slow and do it with awareness and do it with attention. Breathe slowly with awareness and attention. Now, if you could visualize your thighs becoming the trunk of a tree. And slowly there's bark all around you, but you don't feel caged in. You just feel strong. And then almost instantly your knees and your calves, your shins and the ankles, they ground themselves right to the ground and your toes become roots. And feel how the toes can stretch out and become these very strong,
healthy roots and allow these roots to grow into this fertile soil. Remember, this soil is fertile. This is the soil that grows the vegetables that we need to eat on a daily basis in order to be healthy. So as your toes have grown into the soil as roots, allow those roots to absorb the nutrients from the earth. Remember, the fruits and the vegetables that we eat, the vegetables primarily, have absorbed nutrients from the soil. We can absorb those nutrients through our etheric body. And our etheric body can just be a physical extension. So as we have our roots in the soil, visualize all the nutrients that your body needs coming up through those roots. And those roots can go down as far as you want to. Remember, there's crystals and there's minerals in this earth as well. So if you feel that you need iron, find some iron. If you feel that you need some quartz crystal, let the toes grow as far out as wherever you need to go to find quartz. If you need to find ruby, find ruby. Whatever you need is already in the ground. It's a nutrient in the ground. And your toes can be the roots that will get that energy from you. Also, by being grounded with those roots, you can start to feel the frequency of Mother Earth. Mother Earth is a gentle, loving soul that has allowed us to live on her so that we could grow and evolve. And by resonating at her level, by feeling that frequency, that Earth frequency, we can start to see how this is a sacred, holy place, and how we treat this land really is how we treat our mother. If you're abusing this land, you're abusing your mother. And how we treat our resources is how we would even, let's say, treat the father. You know, think of this planet as your parent. So let's feel resonance with Mother Earth right now. She's a slow, steady vibration, and it's a loving vibration. And she's constantly clearing, and sometimes it feels violent. But it's still a vibration. And she is a loving being. She's not an impersonal being that is wishing to create havoc in the lives of people. The havoc that's being created by herself. So if you want to, you can leave your roots in the ground and know that you can get up and walk around at any time, but you will still have very healthy roots. Or if you feel that it would ground you too much, you can bring the roots up and bring them back to your legs. It's really a personal choice. Now, as you have grounded to this earth plane, it's also healthy to ground into the celestial realm, the higher etheric realm. It's good to have a balance. So as your toes became the roots into the soil, your fingers can become branches that can touch the planet. So on Monday, we did a very intense meditation on the planets in terms of having our branches touch the different planets, which we don't have time for today. But by remembering how much those planets affect us and appreciating their presence in our lives and using their energy to move forward, we can start to become co-creators. So, for example, Monday and Tuesday, my Mars was trining my natal Mars. My transit was training the natal. And I had a lot of force available to me. And I got a lot of work done. So, but I was conscious of the fact that it was going to happen because I've studied astrology. So I made sure that in my meditation I really connected up with Mars and made sure that it was going to be a healthy tree, not something that would be negative. It was healthy, so I needed to use those energies in a healthy way. So, and whatever area you think you're working on, so let's say we're talking about healers and we're talking about intent and boundaries and self-love, maybe we could go to the planet of Venus. So for a moment, take one of your branches out and let it head out to Venus. And let's say, let's stay grounded in the earth plane. So you've got your roots in the earth, so that by going out and reaching to Venus, you're bringing in that Venusian energy into your field while still resonating at the earth level. But you're not being ungrounded. You're not leaving your body. You're not taking a time out. You're not being absent. You're being fully present in your body, but still connecting to the planetary agents. So we're talking with Venus right now. So what kind of message can Venus give you, LaVon? You know, you're very intuitive, and I hate to do all the talking. What kind of message does Venus give you as any healer who would be listening to this, or any light worker, or anybody who works with the ET consciousness? What message can Venus give you right now in terms of the healers and the burnout and the exhaustion while you're still grounded on the planet? Because that would mean whatever message you're getting would be beneficial for your earth walk. What can you get? Is there anything that you can sense?
Well, when you were saying that, all that was coming to my mind is that we shouldn't be so hard on ourselves as healers, and that in my particular situation, it was nothing more than me going more forward. And I believe that because a few people that I work with quite often have been having some real issues with, I think it was a little too much for them too, mm-hmm. You know what I'm trying to say?
Yeah.
The way they responded to certain things, there was almost an anger.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it was just a little too much for them to go forward.
Yeah, sometimes we don't know what we can do until we experience it.
Right.
Right? Yeah. But and the thing is, I think, not to judge it. We were judging before. Do you know what I mean?
Well, no, not quite.
Sometimes we judge. You were judged, like sometimes we judge as people in general, and even healers. We judge sickness. We judge it in terms of, oh, you know, something's bad, something's wrong, but it's a message is just a message. Right?
Yeah. And for me, because I came down with the congestion and that, I was forced to sit still.
Right.
Because sometimes we don't know how to sit still. And I have to admit, because of this, I have been thinking. I've been eating less, so it's like I'm sitting still and thinking more, because sometimes we get so busy that we miss the message.
Yes,
you know?
We do, yeah.
So there's pros with everything, but we as humans lean on or feel the cons and kind of, like you said, judge.
Yeah, we judge.
And we need not do that. We need to get excited and say, whoa, this is wonderful. This is for, you know, a good.
Mm-hmm. See it as a gift. That's the other thing. That's one of the techniques that I've had to use. You know, when I do come down with something or I don't feel so good or I'm dealing with a negative emotion, I always try and see it as a gift, because in the end it will be a gift. You know, there's a two sides of a coin. So if I'm experiencing, let's say, anxiousness, eventually peace will make itself through. You know, you can't know peace until you know anxiety. So being able to see it as a gift, being grateful for it, those are some things that we always, you know, we talk about gratitude. You know, that state of gratitude will open you up to abundance. So that's a meditation that anybody can do, visualizing your toes becoming roots, taking the nutrients in from the planet, connecting with Mother Earth, making sure you are kind of resonating with her vibration. And you don't have to necessarily connect with everybody on the planet. Just connect with Mother Earth, because there's a lot of strange, different vibrations. And it doesn't, just because we're all one doesn't mean you want to go and connect with everybody, literally. But you need to connect with Mother Earth if you want to live on her and live well, if you want to live comfortably. If you want to be able to fulfill your mission, you've got to have a connection to the planet that you're on. You know, for a long time I was trying to fulfill my mission without her. And, you know, that's why I turned to shamanism, and I studied shamanism for quite some time, because you really need to work with the planet you're on. There's no point in, you know, being attached to the star system I was from and, you know, thinking, oh, when is it time to go back home? This is where I am. This is where I've got to be. And I need to be grounded here and appreciate the beauty of this place. Appreciate the beauty of this of this home, of this garden, because every planet is a garden of God. One of my teachers says that. So as we're winding down, we talked about the seven reasons, and the first one was intent. The second one was, you know, what is the, what's the holder believing? Number three was boundaries. We really haven't touched upon that, so we might want to talk about that. Number four was, you know, Barbara Brennan, energy science, you know, being realistic. Number five was the higher consciousness. You know, sometimes at a higher consciousness, we're a little bit more sensitive, so you have to be aware of that. Number six was self-love. Number seven was, you know, when you're out of alignment, you sometimes we get physically unwell. It's an indication. So we haven't touched around, we haven't touched on boundaries too much, but what do you want to discuss now? We have about 5 minutes. How do we want to close off here?
Well, I thought what you covered was really good, because for me, and some of this I've heard before, but it's human nature to have to hear it at least three times, right, for Yushi to sink in. But I believe, I was, after I even made that comment just now a little bit ago, I actually was thinking of other individuals that are powerful healers that are working with me, and they all seem to be kind of, it's like it was very heavy for them. So I'm sure there are many people listening today that were directed to listen so that they can relax a little bit, not feel, you know, like feel bad because they're feeling not completely at peace, you know.
Yes, yeah, acceptance.
Yeah, accept whatever happens. And, you know, you're going to run into people that, you know, they know better, and they're going to let you know that, boy, you must not be a very powerful healer because da-da-da-da-da. But even that is being allowed.
Yeah.
So that you don't let anything influence your journey.
Yeah.
And if things get closed up because of it, well, wonderful. Then a new door will open, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. I like the way that you put that.
Yeah.
You don't let, you know, maybe you can repeat that, not about the influencing.
I mean, in other words, if don't take the negative as bad. Everything is for the good. And if doors close and certain people that respected you and treated you a special way start treating you like something was wrong because you aren't feeling good or things weren't going the way they think, well, then you're lucky, you know. I mean,
yeah.
It's a positive is what I should say. The door is closing and then another door will open, and the door will open to a more brighter, a more powerful, and a more where you should be at.
Right.
We've got to learn just to go with the flow and not attach. I think that is one thing that I have been learning the last couple months big time, is to detach.
Yeah.
And even while I have been not as, you know, on my feet, I have detached. In fact, there's a couple people have called that are very powerful, and they like to run the show, and they realize that I basically said gently, you know, kind of goodbye. Because I have to walk my walk.
Definitely, yeah.
Yeah. Otherwise, we can't grow, right?
That's right. And if you're walking somebody else's walk, then you're not being authentic. And then that leads us, you know, to number seven, which is alignment of the soul. Sometimes disease is letting you know you may be out of alignment. It could be either alignment or acclimating. You're acclimating yourself to the new energies. But it's up to the individual to decide whether it's because they're out of alignment or maybe because they are in alignment and all of a sudden they got a little sensitive and they're clearing and they're moving forward to a higher level, right?
Yep. Everything is positive.
Yeah. Everything is positive.
Everything is positive. We have to take it as part of our own personal journey. So.
Yeah. And it is a challenge, I know, as a healer, that you are concerned about your reputation and sometimes what people think about you, but you've got to give that up at the very beginning of your practice. Otherwise, you're not going to be happy, because this image of perfection cannot be sustained for very long. Trying to be perfect is not a healthy way to live your life.
No.
So, you know, I go the opposite route, because for a while there I was trying to make sure that I wasn't sick, and I came across a certain way, and then I'm like, that's not ever going to happen. I'm not living that way. I'm going to be very brutally honest. I'm brutally honest in all of my newsletters and all of my blogs. and even in the book. And that honesty is what brings people to me, because I'm not trying to come off as a perfect being. I'm telling people the truth. I'm telling people exactly how I got here, why I'm here, how I'm going to help them, but I'm going to facilitate. I'm not the one doing it. I'm just facilitating. And that honesty is important because I never have to think about what I'm going to say, because I never have to worry about how I'm going to come across, because I don't care anymore. But that took a while. I mean, that wasn't instantaneous.
I think some of that mentality among people is that, you know how the old Jewish philosophy was, you know, remember in Job, where poor Job had the boils and all that stuff, and instead of comforting him, they said, what sin are you holding on to?
Yeah.
Why is God displeased with you? And I think that is very strong yet.
Yes, it is.
You know, so a lot of times if things aren't going perfect, people think they're not perfect. And like you said, it's not that way. It's, we've already covered all those steps, so
yes,
so is, but if that pops up into our life, could it be that we still have that in our energy field from when we were a Jew, or not just the Jewish faith, because it moved into the Christian movement, because the Christians were Jews, so.
At one point, yes.
So they brought a lot of stuff. So it's not, you know, again, everything is for our lesson. Good.
Yeah, for us to grow without judgment. You know, a lot of times we don't you know, there's a lot of things that we've assumed inappropriately. Even in this lifetime, I have assumed a lot of things that weren't right. And you know, of course, in the time that the Bible was written, you're talking thousands of years ago. Of course, they're not going to know. We're evolving. We're evolving every moment. We're evolving. So, thank you very much for having me on your show.
Well, thank you.
I appreciate being able to be part of your program, and if there is anybody interested in the student teleconferences that I do talk about in the school, please visit www.healingyoursoul.org. That is where we have the 24/7 lectures up. All the lectures are available, and then some guided meditations, or you can either just listen to it right off the web or download it from the podcast onto your iPod at www.knowingspirit.org. And if you want to call to find out about private consultations, whatever you're interested in, it's 1-773-831-4496. And I'll let you give out your info so that we could wrap up on time today.
Okay. And we do a thing called Trauma Erase, and we do it in person and also on the phone. And if you have just even questions, 218-425-3983, 218-425-3983.
And your newsletter is ready to come out Monday or Tuesday of next week, and you usually have a lot of specials. So if they want to visit healingyoursoul.org and just click on the subscribe to newsletter, because the discounts that we offer are only with the newsletter, and I know my astrology discount is only for the month of May, and I'm actually, maybe I've got one spot left. So, but there's always different kinds of specials. There's no need to rush on that. So thank you very much, everyone, for listening to us, and I do appreciate the emails and the phone calls that I do get about the programs that we run. And I look forward to any questions that anybody has to ask. So you can just email at knowingspirit@gmail.com. And if you want to just put your initials on the bottom, so if I do address it, I'll just put your initials so you know that I'm answering the question. So. All right, thanks again, everybody. Have a great week.
Yes, thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Thank you for listening to Knowing Spirit, a show about healing the soul so you can change your life. Please visit our website at www.knowingspirit.org. And if you would like to be a guest on our program, or book a private consultation with Reverend Shreese Thorne, please call us at 1-815-483-1141. Until then, this is Reverend Shreese sending you light and love on your journey home.